Thank you. I'll go ahead and call our regular session to order, and we are going to begin with the Pledge of Allegiance by Councilmember Kelly.
Please repeat after me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Here.
Councilmember Moreno?
Here.
Councilmember Kelly?
Here.
Mayor O'Malley?
Here.
And the record will reflect that Mayor Pro Tem Sturdivant is absent.
Thank you. First item is approval of the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilman Fonzie, seconded by Councilman Kelly. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Councilmember Kelly?
Sexual Assault Awareness Month. Whereas Sexual Assault Awareness Month is intended to draw attention to the fact that sexual violence is widespread and has public health implications for every community member of San Luis Obispo County, and whereas rape, sexual assault, and sexual harassment impact our community, as seen by statistics indicating that 1 in 4 women and 1 in 6 men will be sexually assaulted in their lifetime, and whereas child sexual abuse prevention must be a priority to confront the reality that 1 in 6 boys and 1 in 4 girls will experience a sexual assault before the age of 18. And whereas we must work together to educate our community about sexual violence prevention, supporting survivors, and speaking out against harmful attitudes and actions, and whereas staff and volunteers at the newly merged Sexual Assault Recovery and Prevention Center and North County Women's Shelter and Resource Center of San Luis Obispo County encourage every person to speak out when witnessing acts of violence, however small, and whereas with leadership, dedication, and encouragement, there is compelling evidence that we can be successful in reducing sexual violence in San Luis Obispo County through prevention education, increased awareness, and holding perpetrators who commit acts of violence responsible for their actions. And whereas the City of Atascadero strongly supports the efforts of the Sexual Assault Recovery and Prevention Center and North County Women's Shelter and Resource Center, and of every citizen to actively engage in public and private efforts, including conversations about what sexual violence is and how to prevent it, how to help survivors connect with services, and how every segment of our society can work together to better address sexual violence. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the City Council of the City of Atascadero does hereby proclaim April 2013 as Sexual Assault Awareness Month in Atascadero and April 27, 2013 as Walk a Mile in Her Shoes Day. And I wanted to take the liberty of reading all of this because it is something that just isn't talked about, and it is a very serious matter for many persons in our community. So welcome, Jennifer, and thank you for the work you do with these organizations.
Am I on? Okay. Thank you very much, Mayor O'Malley and City Council members, for this proclamation. I am Jennifer Adams. I'm the Executive Director of the newly merged organization, the SARP Center, and the North County Women's Shelter. As I announced classes to hundreds in our community in an effort to prevent this crime from happening. Our vision is to create a world that is free of sexual violence, and that means we have to be aware and we have to take action. We're inviting county residents to participate in any number of our awareness-raising events this month, including self-defense workshops, community yoga classes, fundraisers at local restaurants and businesses, Take Back the Night at Farmers Market, and the month culminates with Walk a Mile in Her Shoes event, which will be held at Mission Plaza on Saturday, April 27th. Many of you may have seen pictures of that event on the cover of the Tribune. It's a great opportunity for men and families to come forward and speak out, and they walk a mile around the city of San Luis Obispo, and if they so choose, they can wear high heels that we provide for them for the idea that they get to walk a mile in her shoes. But most importantly, Sexual Assault Awareness Month is about honoring victims, whether they have told their story or not. We do this by raising awareness and destroying myths that make it difficult for survivors to talk about their experiences. So once again, I want to thank you for this proclamation and hope to see you the 27th for Walk a Mile in Her Shoes.
Thank you. Please come and accept this. I don't think we have a camera person here today, but we do appreciate. Thank you very much. Oh, we do have a camera person. Okay. Our next proclamation is in support of Buy Local in Atascadero. Also, something important, and our own Heather Moreno has probably worked harder on this rewriting this proclamation than anyone, and so would you like to read it this evening, or Councilwoman
Fonzie? I'd be happy to. Someone here to?
There is. Please come forward and state your name.
Kathleen Carley, County of San Luis Obispo, Public Health Department.
Thank you. We'll read the proclamation, and then if you'd like to say a word or two, that would be great.
That'd be great.
Whereas the City of Atascadero is committed to enhancing the quality of life of residents and visitors, and whereas the City of Atascadero hosts Farmers Market every Wednesday, making it possible for city residents and visitors to engage in urban agriculture, and whereas government entities and public institutions play a vital role in providing and supports our local economy and keeps money circulating within our own community. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the City Council of the City of Atascadero hereby proclaims support for buying local agricultural products so as to promote economic vitality and support our local food shed. We encourage our residents to join us in appreciating the long-term benefits of buying local, both to the community and to the health and well-being of our citizens. I think this is something, in terms of buying locally, that many of us residents have been doing over the years to support our economy, and so we're happy to have you here and to present this to you, and thank you for the work that you do in support of that.
Thank you very much. Again, my name is Kathleen Carley, and I'm a division manager in the County Public Health Department. I'm also a member of Healthy Eating Active Living San Luis Obispo, or Heal Slow. Heal Slow is the countywide obesity prevention coalition. Obesity is a prevalent and ongoing issue for our country as well as our county. In 2007, the Board of Supervisors approved a community action plan to increase healthful eating and regular physical activity among children in San Luis Obispo County. One of the strategies was to adopt and implement county-wide policies that increase accessibility to healthy foods and physical activity opportunities. We know that policy work is the key to turning the obesity tide. The work done in the tobacco field is a great model. In the 1950s, close to 50% of the American population smoked cigarettes. Today, only about 10% of our population smokes. A large reason why smoking rates have dropped so dramatically has to do with policies that ban smoking, such as the smoking ban in parks enacted by the City of Atascadero in 2009. The county passed a Buy Local policy in July 2012, which directs county staff to purchase from local farmers whenever possible. Why buy local? Well, you mentioned a lot of the reasons, but we know that local produce is healthier and tastier, and when people consume tasty, healthy products, it decreases their consumption of unhealthy items. Buying local also supports our local economy and helps protect our environment. By passing this proclamation, you join the cities of San Luis Obispo, Arroyo Grande, Pismo Beach, Paso Robles, Morro Bay, and Grover Beach, who have already passed proclamations in support of this. Our next goal is to increase the amount of local produce purchased by our schools, and we're working on a grant on that right now. We thank you for your support.
Thank you. If you'd like to come forward and receive this proclamation. Solutions update by Mark Elterman, CEO of Mental Marketing.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, Council, City Staff. I'm Mark Elterman, along with John Sorgenfrey. We're your city agency. We're here to give you a brief update on the marketing effort for the City of Atascadero and talk a little bit about what we've been doing on your behalf and where we're headed. First and foremost, we wanted to let you know that the last time that we presented here, remind you that the Council adopted a whole new marketing plan. a 24-month plan, as well as a new brand, the Heart of the Central Coast. And now we're in the process, oh, thank you. We're in the process of building out your marketing toolkit and preparing ourselves to really launch that brand. The first order of business was to put together a functional destination tourism website and do it so cost-effectively. So what you see before you here is the initial phases of it. Your city technical staff, Luke, is about to launch it in the process of it going live. It's a very deep WordPress website. It was constructed in such a way that it'd be very, very cost-effective for the city to add to it, to make changes over time, to swap out photography, to change events, as well as integrate some of the preferences that your lodging community would like over time. So while we're not necessarily looking for council input on the website tonight, because it's a little bit uncomfortable to do that in this kind of a forum, what we are hoping for you to perhaps take the site, view it, play with it, click around on your mobile devices, on your tablets, on your desktops, and please provide your feedback. It is going to be live. It is intended to evolve. But we think you're going to like it. And based on what we discovered in our earlier rounds of discovery, having a new constructed website in this manner is essential to your long-term success. Also, in addition to that, led by Audrey with the city, you have a tourism promotions committee. Of some members in stakeholders in the community, and we've been working closely with them to coordinate various promotions, to look at the as well as your local stakeholders. We're going to launch our first promotion. We think it's going to be a good one. This is to support the lodging community and very much support your wine festival. Our wine festival happens in June. Well, what we'd like to do is to make the wine festival last all month. We want to do that so that we can draw more people into this beautiful wine region. We want them to stay. So what we're coordinating is the ability for your lodging community to create packages on your website. We'll promote those packages, and we're going to promote the wineries as well. So what happens, and you can, we hope the community will tell their friends and family, particularly their out-of-town guests, to come and stay at a lodging property, and they'll have some specials. But also, when they check in, they're going to get a bottle of local wine. Okay, and we're going to go ahead and coordinate that. So we think that is a great way to extend the life of a festival and also really support the lodging community and the wine community working together. This will allow us a perfect platform to launch this new brand, the Heart of the Central Coast. Okay, I'll have John talk a little bit about the advertising as well, and then also talk a little bit about what we're going to be reporting every month to you and the format that hopefully you'll find valuable. Okay.
Thank you. Good evening. As Mark said, I just want to take this opportunity to thank city staff, particularly Audrey, for all her hard work on this and also coordinating the stakeholders. We had a great couple of meetings, and everybody took it very serious, gave us a lot of good input. Again, I think it kind of gets to our brand of the Heart of the Central Coast. There's a lot of heart here aside from just being centrally located. I can tell you that all the various stakeholders, businesses are very enthusiastic about this, and they're really looking forward to having the website go live and the promotion that Mark spoke about and all the other ones that we have planned. Really, as you saw in your marketing plan, the basis of our whole effort is going to be the website, because we're going to drive everything there. So we've spent most of our attention on getting a really good quality website, getting it optimized, and getting it ready to go live. And then once that's done, as Mark mentioned, we're going to have advertising to support that. And we're going to do Facebook advertising, we're going to do YouTube advertising, and also we're going to do some Google AdWords, which will help kind of give us a little bit of a lift in creating more Facebook fans, getting more visitors to the site. And then in addition to that, we're also going to be embracing the county. It's a nice tie-in with the upcoming Saver promotion, and we'll look forward to coming back to the council periodically and giving you updates. What we'd also like to do is, once the website's live, we'll be sharing with you our successes and your successes as far as getting more visitors, more fans on Facebook, and have a benchmark to go from and be constantly updating you on that. And we always continue to look for your guidance and your opinions on what we're doing.
Thank you. We have some council questions. I'm going to begin with my right and work my way to my left.
Just briefly, you had asked us to go and check out the site and mobile devices, but because the site isn't live, are you sending us a link to get there?
Yeah.
Yes,
we'll
send you a development site link. And then, of course, city staff will let us know when it's actually live, because I know they're in the process of transferring.
Right. Okay.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's sort of like building a ship. You know, we've got it in dry dock, but the link that you'll get will be constantly, as we make changes, you'll see that every time you go to the link, so it's not a static thing.
And you're sending us to a link that it's still not live yet,
correct.
But we'll be able to see the back
correct.
End. Okay.
Exactly. Correct.
Thanks.
Exactly.
I was just wondering if you're going to be integrating the Centennial into the website
mm-hmm.
as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, as a matter of fact, as you scroll down the site, and I'm not 100% certain I can do it here, maybe. Oops. We have a great deal of flexibility with this site. Excuse me. I don't know if I can get. To scroll down. Sorry, this is a lot more difficult.
Is that up there at the top? So,
if I can grab it.
No.
Well, anyways, sorry. This is a little bit. Clunky here, but as you go down the page here, you're going to see all these very engaging boxes. So it's going to there we go. So now I got to get rid of. So like you'll see, for instance, the Centennial there. Okay, so all the Centennial promotions are going to be linked through there. So all these very important promotions and activities are going to be very well represented, very visually represented. Here on this site, including whatever events that are really happening. You have an extremely, probably the most deep local wine site as well, because it covers literally all the wineries of Paso, Santa Margarita, as well as San Luis Obispo. So you have a heck of a lot of content on there. Device. Okay, so all the functionality that you have online, you will have on your mobile device. But getting back to an app, there are some things that we can do by creating an app, both Android and iPhone, that are in your best interest. It's not the cheapest thing to do, but there are some things that you can do on the app that's very, very effective, including like you were talking about, the geographic notifications, as well as push notifications. So if you want to send somebody some information, the apps are particularly effective for that. So that is a practical evolution of this in future phases, yes.
Fine, thank you.
Yeah. I think that the one point that's probably worth making again is that you're absolutely right. Mobile is huge, and it's increasing actually by the month, not by the year. And so this site will give us the opportunity to build upon that. So it's going to be totally mobile ready. You won't have to squeeze and pinch. It'll set itself up for all the different mobile devices and make having an app that much easier.
Thank you. And, of course, I think I've always heard from hoteliers that all you need to do is get more people to come and stay longer and spend more money. And so, of course, linking multiple events, so you have multiple day events. And I know during our wine festival, of course, the night before, we're going to have our mayor's winemaker dinner that's sold out every year and does make that into a two-day event. I assume you'll be promoting that as well on the website.
Heavily.
Absolutely.
Very good. I would like to open this up to the public since we do have you here to answer any questions. So if you wouldn't mind hanging close by, we'll invite the public to come forward to make any comment on this presentation, give us some feedback while we have our experts here. Welcome. And this will be just speaking on this presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of City Council. My name is Chuck Ward. I live in Atascadero. The last 8 years, I've sat in on about three or four of these presentations. And not to throw cold water, but I think you're missing the mark on one thing that makes this city unique. and that is that it is, without a doubt, one of the most patriotic cities in America. I brought this point up 2 years ago during a workshop, and I could hear the eyes. American Heritage Monument, we have a world-class veterans memorial, we have a section of the National Purple Heart Trail, and soon a national recognized monument, which I'll comment on later. But we're missing the boat. Now, I'm going to be a committee of one. We're going to have this city and this monument on a national military magazine in July, and I'm trying to get it on a regional, national, general magazine around the same point. And it's going to be on the theme that this city is among one of the fill-in-the-blank ex most patriotic cities in America. If we can have one of the most friendliest cities, one with the most trees, etc., I think we should brand ourselves, along with being in the center of everything, as being one of the most patriotic cities in America. There's a lot of patriotic people here. You just have to go out in a parking lot and look at the bumper stickers. I think we are missing the boat, and we're doing the same old marketing, and we're spending more time promoting the wineries and all the nice sights to see around here than focusing on what is unique to this city. And I could get a lot of people outside of the city to come in and testify to that. So I'm a little worked up about it because I'm very energetic on this subject, and I think it needs attention. So that's my comment on this, and I think what they're doing is wonderful, but I think this would add to it. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other speakers? Perfect timing as well. Well, we will close public comment, bring it back. I do think something that's wonderful and unique about our community is that we do have such a wide range of interest, and I think that's a strength. And I think as our council has chosen our Lake Park Zoo and Memorial as our event center, I think it does have that unique place where truly families, veterans, you name it, can come and really enjoy that wide range of spectrum. There is truly something for everyone in Atascadero. So thank you for that comment. If you would like to respond to our one public comment, and if that stimulated any other thoughts, please share them, and then we will move on. We look forward to hearing from you often in the future.
Look forward to that, too. I think it's a very good point. I'm old enough to have, my father was in the European theater. My uncle was in Iwo Jima. My father-in-law was a D-Day. And so I think that honoring the veterans, not only from World War II, but all the veterans is something that we can certainly market. I think that the way we could do that, a good example would be as the city hall's being built, the aspect of people who are interested in architecture, people who are interested in history, those types of people we're going to reach out to. And I think the same thing could be true for reaching out to various veterans groups. Because you do have the venues for them. I think it's very important, and we'll certainly add that on to the what makes Atascadero unique.
Very good. Thank you. Councilman Kelly.
Yeah, I'd just like to comment. I endorse your idea there, Chuck. I think honoring the veterans of this country is a top priority. And as you mentioned, as I'm getting older, I do a little RVing, and it's amazing all the older folks that are wearing veterans hats in these RV parks that I go to. And I think you did hit on a point that it would bring a lot of people to this town. And I appreciate that we are patriotic, and I think we ought to brag about it because I'm very proud of it. So thank you for bringing that up.
Councilwoman Fonzie.
Yes, I'd like to also chime in on that. Chuck, I don't know if you could do a little research, but I know you're good at it. If you could find out if there's any way that we can get a moniker that would give us some credit, just like San Luis Obispo is supposed to be the happiest place on earth or whatever, why can't we get that for Atascadero? So if you would look into it, that would be great.
Very good. Marcia, take care of that for us. Well, I do especially appreciate that interface. I know my mom used to play at a USO band at Camp Roberts, where she met Sergeant Edward A. O'Malley, and the rest is history right there. Remember when we put on some USO-type swing dance events here in Atascadero 3 years in a row, we had folks coming from all over the country, and many folks were from that era that really appreciated that reinventing that experience. So that is a good point. We appreciate that. We've already closed public comment on that promotions item, and so we'll move on with our agenda. The next item is our consent calendar. Excuse me?
Are you asking for a motion?
I will do that. Is there any member of the public wishing to pull an item on the consent calendar? Seeing none, and any member of the council wishing to pull an item? No. I would entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion that we approve the consent calendar.
I second that.
Thank you. We have a motion by Councilman Kelly, seconded by Councilman Moreno. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Kelly?
Yes.
Councilmember Moreno?
Yes.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
4-0, motion passes.
Thank you. Next item is updates from the city manager.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. A couple of quick updates for you and then an update on City Hall. First, just an update on Walmart. There is no update. We haven't heard anything from the courts yet. The hearing date was 3 weeks ago now, March 19th, and we're looking forward to receiving the judge's rulings. One of the things I wanted to point out for you, in Las Lomas, the Sunwood Development has started construction of their model homes at the Las Lomas project. They're in the process of pulling 9 additional single-family residential permits for Phase 1, and there are going to be 4 different floor plans that range from 2,000 to 2,800 square foot up there on that project. So we're seeing a lot of movement there, especially at the south end of town. And now I want to introduce again one of our favorite project managers, Dan Huff from Bernard's Construction, to give us a little update on City Hall restoration.
Thank you, Wade. Good evening, Mayor and Council. This is really an exciting time to give an update on what's happening over at City Hall. Yeah, it's on. Okay. All right. This is really an exciting time over on the construction project. I think in this last month we have seen more change outside and inside in any previous 30-day period. We've got starting our site work, painters, ceramic tile setters, carpenters, electricians, acoustic seamless plasters. There's a lot going on. It's changing quickly. So as we enter the stretch run, it's really exciting to see it finally start coming together and seeing what it's going to look like. I just want to show a few photos of things that are going on. We're finishing our we're on the exterior, oops, let's go back. Just starting, what we're seeing here is a repair of some terracotta facade. We're in the finishing stages of the building exterior, and in fact, last week's scaffold went down. What you see here, they're doing some repair of a piece of terracotta corner that actually fell off during construction. There was an earthquake, I don't know, north of town several months ago, but over the weekend, that piece right there that's being reassembled broke off and fell. Unfortunately, it fell about 2 feet onto a scaffold. So we're structurally tying that back together with some steel pins, coring some holes in the other piece behind it, and we'll be filling that with concrete and securing it so it will never fall off again. Luke? This is working up in the upper rotunda. We've just completed installing the seamless acoustic plaster. Up on the high reaches of the dome, we've installed acoustical panels that are, they're about 30 by 30 inches. It's a composite filled with, you know, there's insulation and then there's plasterboard on top of it. It's glued to drywall, and then they spray a final coat on and finish it out. So we were in there today. They've dropped the dance floor portion of the scaffold up there, and you go in there and talk and see it. And even right now with the construction work going on, you see how it just deadens the silent, the sound in there, and it's just going to make a wonderful venue for council meetings. This, again, here we are on the mezzanine level of the upper rotunda. Right here, you can see there's some of the original decking that was removed prior to reconstruction, and it's just been reinstalled, and then the railing around that mezzanine has been reinstalled. That is new railing, but it does depict the original design. Down on the lower pictures, you can see our tile setter is working. All of the ceramic tile has been set in the bathrooms. In fact, our plumber's on site starting to set plumbing fixtures today. Here again is some of the final facade repair. There's one of the porticos. I think that's the south portico, kind of doing some restoration there, completing the balustrades around the building, and then final brick and terracotta repair. So I don't know if you had a chance to see the building with the scaffold drop, but you look at it. We still got punch list and final cleanup to do, but it's spectacular. It's really pops over there. This is up on the fourth, on the roof level. That's one of the tablature panels, parapets. You know, on the four sides of the building, you've got the tablature that's got the nice sayings on it. Those tablatures, after we got into construction, found that they needed some structural work. So we've kind of got them secured. Here again is some additional work repairing the outside. We've got some new column bases. Part of the deferred maintenance was to provide new column bases. Those have arrived on site, and they're being installed. So it's coming together with spectacular wonder. I every time I look at it, I see something different, and I hope that you go over there and pay attention and really look at what you see on the outside of that building, because it's going to be one of those destination pieces that I hope to see on that new Atascadero website. Let's see. Oh, here we are on the second floor, looking down into the rotunda. This is one of the overlook windows that has been opened up. Over the years, that was filled in, and you couldn't see from the second floor down to the first floor rotunda. So there's the window that's been installed. It's a fire-rated glass system. The trim's not on that yet, but now that you've got four of these overlooks around that second floor ring looking down into the lower rotunda. This is just a shot of an elevator door frame installed. All of our frames are installed. Our elevator doors are going to be installed next week. And in the week of the 29th, the elevator will be going in. Here we've got carpenters on the first, second, third floors where we did our shotcrete. We started off with walls, I guess, exterior walls about 8-10 inches thick. We added the shotcrete, so all the jams for those windows had to be extended. So they're installing those window jams, also reinstalling the historic trim, the trim encasing around the windows, and the sill trim was removed at start of construction. It's all now being reinstalled. So we're going to have a mixture of old and new. One of the nice things about reinstalling historical fabric, you can continue to see the history that's been into the building. So we've got some of the doors removed going back in. So it's just going to be a museum in itself, and I think that's one of the intentions. You know, you're going to have docent trips through the building, and as I said, it's going to be a destination itself. Here's our wood shop. We've got a wood shop in the basement. As you can imagine, every one of those windows is slightly different, so there's not a production mode that you can go in there and just make a bunch of window frames. Everyone's got little twists and turns in it, so everyone has got a custom fit. So they're building them down in the basement and installing up in the building itself. Here's a pretty good shot. It's a little bit hard to see, a little dark, but that's on the West Mall sunken garden side. You can see the new penthouse. That's going to be the new club room, kind of a meeting area for closed session and other events. This is kind of a shot of the upper rotunda that's been completely torn down, rebuilt, and reinstalled. We had the tent over the top of the building for several months. So, you know, the old tile was taken down, stored, cleaned. All the brick that was up there was taken down, stored and cleaned, and rebuilt. So hopefully, if we succeeded, you'll never know that we did anything. It'll look like it did originally. You can see just getting ready to start taking the scaffold down, which is down now at this point. And there's a look that we haven't seen in several months. That's taken from Sunken Gardens this afternoon. But the grandeur of that building is really unbelievable. So I'm so happy to have been a part of this thing and continue to be amazed about what I see and how much fun it is to see it come together at this point. But anyway, we're in the stretch run and moving very well. We're going to get done on schedule with the construction. We've just started today on our site work. Audio-visual contract was awarded a couple weeks ago, so we're starting to get submittal, so that will be starting. We've got one more bid package that may go out, but come along very well. So does anybody have any questions?
Council questions?
No question, just a comment. I'm very impressed. It looks great.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. It's outstanding.
Yeah, something the city can be very proud of. And I, looking at the previous presentation, I go, wow, this is going to be a focal point. It's going to be a destination point of its own.
It's almost like the Veterans Memorial where you have to stop.
Yeah.
And just take
Absolutely.
It
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah.
Good. And we thank Bernard's for your work on coordinating this project. It has come in under budget consistently, which is phenomenal for the result we are getting. So thank you for your work on this, and we do look forward to that grand reopening.
Yeah, so do I, and thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Further city manager report. I'm going to insert in just one news item to discuss with our city manager. I recently had a discussion with Jeremy Burke, who is the publisher for Atascadero News, as well as the magazines around the state. And he has begun a series he will be doing on what's good in Atascadero. Unlike other media publications, he is really highlighting the many folks that we know in our community. He wants to focus on some of the different businesses, one a week, of folks that not only do a good job in their business, but they really give a lot into their community. And also so many community members that we know of that have done so many things. Most of what we have in our community is because of volunteer effort. We see folks from the Elks here, I'm sure we'll hear more about. But, you know, you've got Maggie Vandergaan starting Colony Days. Good heavens, how many years ago? 40 years ago, and we'll be celebrating that in our centennial year. So many folks that we can be proud of in our community. The Veterans Memorial, just one of the more recent endeavors. So look forward to Atascadero News highlighting the individual businesses and individuals in our community. And I said we would be happy to recognize each one of those after each week that the Atascadero News does that. And I think we're looking to possibly having a plaque at the end of the centennial year with one recognized each week throughout the year. And I'm sure, can find a home for that, celebrating and commending those individuals during our centennial year. So we'll hear more about that. Hopefully more media outlets would take that positive approach as well. We will move on now to Community Forum, which is an opportunity for you to talk about anything that's not on the agenda that's under our jurisdiction. So welcome.
Good evening, Mayor, Council, hardworking staff, fantastic chief. And my name is Dana Hall. I'm a lifetime resident here in Atascadero. I'm continuing a conversation that I had 2 weeks ago and found very little answers to. I'm in full support of everybody here and what you're doing, but I have the topic of patriotism. I've heard a lot tonight. We started out with the, please help me out, a little tongue-tied. The, come on, somebody, what did we start out with tonight?
Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance. Thank you. I don't come to council meetings and stuff very much, and or other events where it's said, but that right there shows our pride here in town. Got a little tongue tied there. So on September 12th, 2012, the entire chamber was ecstatic about a 4th of July celebration for. First annual 4th of July celebration of 2012. The 5-0 vote was taken, and I'm wondering what happened to that vote. Did it disappear? I don't want to be combative, but we have to figure out what happened to that vote and why it wasn't acted upon. And because once I heard that we were going to have a second annual 4th of July celebration at the lake on our 100th anniversary, which brings community together. I've heard nothing but community. I've heard heart tonight. That's involved at the celebration out there. It's a non-alcoholic event. There are so many good reasons that we should have followed through with this event for the second annual 4th of July celebration. Mayor, I'd like to ask you tonight, what happened to the 5-0 vote, and where did it go, and do we have to take another vote to disband that vote? But I don't want to see the council voting 5-0 on something and it not have any action taken upon it, especially something this important. And this is for the community. Everybody's invited from around the world, wherever they want to come from. But this is a non-alcoholic, it's not promoting the wine, it's not promoting something outside of our city. It is for the people of the city who deserve an annual celebration the way it not only used to be. It's not just for nostalgia, but it's for the modern day family to come out and be a full day event where you don't have to worry about a lot of things. Anyway, please.
Take
action tonight on that 5-0 vote. Thank you.
Welcome. Next speaker.
Good evening, Mayor O'Malley and honorable council members. My name is Don Ritter, and I'm a land use consultant and an Atascadero resident. Tonight I am here representing Castle Rock Development, the owner of the Oak Ridge Estates residential project up in 3F Meadows. Last year in April, the Deputy Public Works Director provided a management report to Council regarding the PD-11 conditions of approval for the Oak Ridge Estates project. The Deputy Director's goal was to synchronize PD-11 conditions with Caltrans highway standards related to certain improvements at the intersection of Highway 41 and Los Altos Road. And in particular, PD-11 called for the installation of a right turn lane and what PD-11 refers to as a refuge lane at that intersection. And on the other hand, the Caltrans highway standards for public roads does not include those two improvements for this type of intersection. We've been going back and forth. Based on a comprehensive traffic study of the intersection and upon the recommendation of two separate traffic engineers and also with the concurrence of Caltrans, the management report concluded that the Caltrans standard intersection without the right turn and without the refuge lane satisfied the intent of PD-11. And since this item was presented as a management report, there was no council vote. Council heard the report, took comments, and then the report was filed. A few days later, Castle Rock was informed by the city that only council could make a finding of compliance with PD-11. A staff management report was not sufficient. And so therefore, the deputy director put the item back on the council's next agenda, the second meeting in April, on the meeting agenda. And the staff report again determined that a Caltrans standard intersection satisfied the intent of PD 11, and he recommended council's approval. However, on the very day of the council hearing, the item was pulled from the agenda. And that was last year. And so the incongruence between the PD 11 conditions and Caltrans standard highway design manual for that intersection remains unresolved. Tonight, Mr. Mayor, I would respectfully request that this item be placed on a future council agenda for deliberation and action, preferably in May. Thank you very much for your time and consideration.
Thank you. Welcome, next speaker.
My name is Eugene Kraft, 1000 North Fair Carroll. During my lifetime, I've tried to minimize my complaining, and now I find myself in this public forum complaining, which I find very difficult to do. I stand before you with an issue that I am requesting of you to consider that has to do with the horse arena north of Farrah Carroll Road in the De Anza Estates. I am requesting that this horse arena be eliminated from our neighborhood. It is a constant source of irritation to myself and a number of others living here. Loud vehicles pull enormous trailers, some of them exceeding the 25-mile-per-hour speed limit, cleaning garbage out of their vehicles and leaving it on the ground, failing to clean up horse manure. Some do not obey hours of usage. They have no responsibility to maintain or repair the road or the rusty bridge, whereas we do pay for that maintenance and repair. I would question whether the city took this into consideration when they allowed the arena to stay when the houses were built. On behalf of other residents in this sub, I am hopeful that we can find a resolution to this problem. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome, next speaker.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and council members and council. My name is Lance Erickson, and I'm here representing...
Excuse me, if I could just, and I'll, we'll restart the clock, but I did want to let folks know that it's our custom that we will hear all public comment, and then after that we will close public comment, and then we will respond to each item addressed. So in case folks were leaving, not expecting some comment, it's easier rather than addressing each item in series. So in case anyone was wondering, I wanted to make that comment. So please start the clock over. Yeah, I think it's just been... So, sir, I just wanted to make sure you understood. Customarily, we go through public comment, hear each item. Then after we close public comment, we will review each question and have some council discussion. So I didn't want you to leave thinking we weren't going to talk about that. Just a protocol item. So if you're welcome to stay a little longer if you'd like. Thank you. And excuse me, please start over.
Thank you, Mr. Malley. It's good to be here tonight. My name is Lance Erickson. I'm the past CEO of the Atascadero Elks Lodge. I'm also the past state president, association president, and the past district deputy grand exalted ruler of the West Central Coast. For those that don't know what that means, it's a job that I had to oversee 12 lodges consisting of 11,000 members. I'd first like to thank the city council for all their support that you give to the Elks and for attending so many of our community events such as the police and fire appreciation, the veterans dinner, the National Youth Week, and I believe I've seen most of you at one of our events in the community many times. Our lodge gives back to our community through charity donations and by supporting community and youth activities such as high school robotics, Little League, Babe Ruth, recognizing youth soccer, Boy Scouts, the Daisy Troop, and the Girl Scouts, including recognizing the Eagle Scouts. We support the Firefighters Association, Loaves and Fishes, the American Home and Echo. In addition, We are a patriotic organization. We also support veterans and have a motto, as long as there's veterans, we'll never forget. We have donated $1,000 to the memorial and the new sign in our beautiful city. As you know, we are partners with the Atascadero Chamber of Commerce to produce the Tuesday barbecues in the park every year, and been doing so for many years, which has resulted in raising tens of thousands of dollars to several community charitable organizations in our city. I am here tonight to ask your help with our endeavor to bring bingo to the city of back to the city of Atascadero. As you know, the Atascadero Elks conducted bingo for many years under the blessings of the city. Fast forward to the present. We now have the opportunity to bring back under a new system called remote caller bingo, which we believe will bring players and more charitable funds into the community. We have met with city staff earlier this year and asked for their direction to amend the existing city code. The meeting was very informative and helpful. Unfortunately, we are unable to proceed to the next level, as the fee of $4,445 would be taken out of our existing charity fund. We are asking the City Council to consider waiving this fee to amend the city code so the Atascadero Elks may use those funds for other budget charitable events already scheduled for our new elk year. It's good to see you all again, and thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome. Next speaker.
Good evening, Mayor O'Malley, members of the City Council. If you'll excuse me, but there seems to be a direct relationship between my cough reflex and the microphone. I'm a 48-year resident of Atascadero and a 10-year member of the Atascadero Elks Lodge. It's a wonderful organization. Lance has given you briefly an overview of some of the things that we support and do here and annually budget for. I spoke with our treasurer this morning and asked, just how many things do we support? And he said over 30, but we also have numerous one-shot request things that we refer to, we help in a positive way. But we're also aware of the growing need here in town, as it evidenced at the long lines at the homeless shelter and Echo, and the people you see begging in the streets. We, in addition to our charities, support community events like Tuesday in the Park, Colony Days, 4th of July. We work hard to be productive members of our Atascadero community. It's almost impossible for a member to enter our lodge without being asked to buy a ticket for some of the dozens of in-house fundraisers we hold ongoing. We work hard, but we enjoy doing it because I know our fundraiser goes for a good cause. Excuse me. A certain percentage, of course, remains with us because, like my dad always said, daughter, you must first take good care of yourself in order to be able to take good care of others, and I believe that. If granted a permit to hold bingo games at our lodge, which we're asking for, I believe we could easily double the amount that we now give to charity. I'm not a bingo player. I'll never be a bingo player. But I know many other senior citizens that are, and not all seniors do. The community could also certainly use this new form of recreation, as now we have just a nice movie theater, some lovely restaurants, and occasional night classes, but not much else for seniors. We receive calls at the lodge from time to time, do you hold bingo games, showing there is a customer base out there and certainly not just senior citizens. I'm adding my voice to that of our 560 members to please amend the city code so that we can hold electronic bingo games at the Atascadero Elks Lodge, as I know it will benefit our community. Thank you for your time. And one more comment about promoting the city as a destination place. Don't forget the Daffodil Project. In about 3 years, it will be fantastic. Thank you.
Perfect timing. Left over from those days of the chamber, no doubt. Welcome. Next speaker.
Mayor O'Malley, members of the City Council, and city staff members. I'm also here representing the Atascadero Elks Lodge, number 2733.
And your name, sir?
My name is Bob Brown.
Thank you.
I've been a resident of the county since 1958 and of Atascadero for 36 years, coming here, moving up in 1977. A member of the Elks Lodge, joining in San Luis Obispo in 1960, over 53 years ago, transferring to the Atascadero Elks Lodge in 1990, and I have had the privilege of serving as exalted ruler, which is the same as president of an organization, two different times. I guess I didn't learn the first time. I'm proud to be an Elks member here in Atascadero and be part of an organization that has raised over $525,000 for charity over the past 25 years. That's why I'm an Elk. It's a great feeling to be part of an organization that provides contributions to youth activities, to sports, youth sports of all kinds, the Boy and Girl Scouts, scholarships, programs for the needy and the handicapped, patriotic programs, veterans programs. We're very, very strong on veterans and recognizing veterans. And having been a veteran myself and served in World War II, I recognize that these people need to be recognized. There's 1,000 of us from World War II a day that are dying. We're almost a gone breed. We have lots of different programs in community service, recognition for the police and the fire departments, drug awareness, and much, much more. I've been active in each community where I have lived. It's been one of the things that I have been most proud of, is being able to help put on different activities to raise funds. I'm sure most of you realize in this day and age and with the economy the way that it has been the last few years, it's not easy to raise money for charity. And that's why we're here tonight. We need your assistance in obtaining an amendment to the city code so that bingo can become part of our fundraising efforts. And we can continue and hopefully even increase our community contributions. I thank you very, very much.
Thank you, Mr. Brown. Welcome. Next speaker.
Mr. Mayor, members of City Council, my name is Chuck Ward. I live in Atascadero. I wear two hats tonight. One is the chairman of the Your American Heritage Monument Project Committee. The other is president of the Military Officers Association of America for this part of the world. I'm here because I want to talk for the next 2.5 minutes about another construction project that's within a couple of hundred yards of our wonderful Veterans Memorial Building. Right across the street, the walkway from the Galaxy Theater. Over the next 2 weeks, between this council meeting and the next council meeting, there will be a total transformation for what was just a patch of dirt with some scrubs in it to a wonderful monument. Right now, if you walk in front of the Galaxy, you'll see the concrete monument. Tomorrow, the electrical work's going in. The next day, there'll be 700 square feet of tumbled pavers going in. Week and a half, we're going to have a flagpole, which will be erected. Another week after that, we'll have the first bronze plaque of the Declaration of Independence is being shipped from the foundry in Pennsylvania. We are on target to have our dedication July 2nd, and I'm proud to announce that we've just recently received a wonderful donation from the Hind Foundation, and this would be a wonderful tribute to the late Greg Hind. And on the bingo question, several of the military organizations I belong to, we have our meetings at the Elks down in San Luis Obispo. Tomorrow I have a board meeting for the Military Order of the World Wars. Every time I'm there, there's banner, there's bingo tonight, open to the public. It is a major, major draw from the area. And I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of people from this area go down over the grade to play bingo. So I think it's long overdue. I'm not a bingo enthusiast, but I can tell you I do a lot of fundraising, and the Elks have been very, very generous indeed to the programs that I've supported. And I think the City Council would be well advised to take another look at that ordinance and perhaps approve it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any other speakers on any topic not on our agenda under our jurisdiction? Seeing none approach, we'll close public comment, bring it back to council. We don't always comment on every item that comes before a public comment, sometimes because we've commented on them a number of times before. All five of these items, I think, we need to address to some degree. We can't make a decision on an item that's not agendized, but we can just touch on them briefly. I'll respond briefly and give my council members an opportunity if they would like to make a comment or two. First, 4th of July, yes, we have supported that. We all participated the first time with that. I know that's something that along with the hundreds of events, we would certainly support someone stepping forward and taking that on, as most every event we have, whether it was Maggie Vandergon 40 years ago. Often there is someone like my Boy Scout leader, Charles Paddock, that gets something started. Like Jerry Clay would always say, just takes one person with an idea and willing to work at it. So yes, the council would certainly support anyone coming forward and taking a lead. I can say it can't be me because I am so overcommitted this centennial year on literally over 100 events, but I'd happy to help anyone else stepping forward. I've personally approached the Veterans Memorial Organization and some other veterans groups to see if they would like to take the lead. It's not something that anyone has accepted that responsibility this year. There are several individuals who were involved with this previously taking the lead. Everyone from Al Fonsi to Steve Martin, they're not able to take that responsibility this year, and the clock is ticking. So again, if someone is really interested in that, please come forward. We'd like to support you in that effort. And as every group here is looking for volunteers for various things, that's how we get things done in our community is through volunteer efforts. So yes, we're supportive of any members in our community of the things that they want to take on, and we'll support them any way we can. But as Warren Frace in our department says, we can do anything, we just can't do everything. So apologize if we can't do enough in some areas that folks would like us to do more on. Second item was Castle Rock. My understanding is that council did make a decision on that some years ago, and there were some discussion on different options, but I think the council decision has stood. What I would like to see, I don't know if the city engineer would like to review that tonight or come back in 2 weeks with a little update for us or the city manager. What would be?
Perhaps I could give you a quick update. I think all of the things Mr. Ritter said were true. Unfortunately, what we found, we brought that item back as a management report with the recommendation, as Mr. Ritter had indicated, for a reduced intersection that would be the Caltrans standard. What we realized in that hearing was that many years before, I think in 2005, the City Council had reviewed that actual item. We had brought that item before, and the council had determined that they wanted the full improvement of that intersection. So when we brought the management report, we were really notifying you that we were making a change. We learned that night at the hearing, wait a minute, there would be a previous decision already by the City Council, and staff simply can't change the City Council decision. So we held that, we brought that item back to the council then at a following meeting. And then with the variety of controversies that have gone on about that project with different filings and the different questions, we ended up pulling that item from the agenda. It could be returned to an agenda if you wanted. Certainly the staff recommendation has stayed the same. I wanted to jump in. You know, we want to be transparent on all these items. Our own city engineer, Russ Thompson, has not been involved in this project from a city standpoint because back before he worked for us, he was the engineer representing that project. So he no longer represents the project, but in an effort to be completely transparent and not have any issues there, we've kept Mr. Thompson from that project, and Dave Athey is our deputy director, is why you hear Mr. Athey has been corresponding. He has been the lead on that project with our community development director, Frace. So you can make the change, you know, change the intent or the, excuse me, interpretation of what is required of that intersection, but the previous council position was no, leave it the same.
And Mr. Mayor, my advice at this point is that if there's going to be any further discussion on this item, that you ask that it be put on a future agenda.
Thank you. And that's my understanding. There was a council action, and if I believe it parallels issues that have been brought up at public comment before, and if there's a desire by a majority of the council to put this on a future agenda, we can either discuss it more or make a decision at that time, one way or the other. So I'll leave it to see if there's three or more council members in support of bringing this back for further discussion or review.
Yep. I have been in contact with Mr. Ritter and Mr. Shetler, and there were documents that were presented to me from Caltrans.
Excuse me, I think I need to interrupt again.
Okay. I would like to put it on the agenda. It was on the agenda once before, and it was pulled. And I think the applicant should have the opportunity to have the current package put together with all the information and presented to the City Council in an open forum so that we can review the new information that's been provided to us.
Okay. Is there any other council member agreeing with that?
I will agree with that. I'd like to bring it back and hear both sides on this one.
And as I have not been involved with this before, but from what I'm hearing, I would like that as well. Thank you.
So you have a consensus of three or more council members to place this on a future agenda, and we'll take a staff report at that time. Thank you. Again, an example of we can't deliberate an item that just comes up tonight, but we can put it on a future agenda, which we have done. Mr. Kraft brought up an issue regarding a horse arena. I don't know that we've heard that issue before. I would suggest that we have staff look into that unless they're prepared to comment now. I think there's probably a few issues. There was some agreement at the time. That was probably a condition of the development at the time. I don't know if that's been reviewed. Maybe we need to have some information about that brought to us.
We can definitely do that. This is an issue we've seen a few times. It is a difficult operations issue. I don't want to go too far into it, but I think that it was part of the original subdivision. And then we have had these types of concerns at the council now several times where the users of the facilities haven't kept it clean or haven't been good neighbors, and we've tried to work with a variety of groups to improve that. Maybe Mr. Thompson could expand on my comment.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. This is an issue that comes up every year at the landscape and lighting district meetings. We have tried different things over the years, the past 3 years, signage. We've recently installed a gate, and we're working with one of the property owners to lock that at the times prescribed on the signage. But it continues to be a problem. But as city manager said, it was on the original approval of that project that horse arena facility was part of the project. It was constructed by the project. So to get rid of it would take some, you know, action by the council.
And again, this is a I have to be careful not to get into this too deep, because it's not an agenda item. But Are there, I'm concerned that there might be more than just this particular location, there might be problems. Are there others, or is this one that's just been more of an issue than any other?
I don't want to say there aren't other nuisances in the community, but this is a particular one that I don't think you would string together with several others. Okay. This is a particular issue.
Because if it's a broader issue, we might want to take it on as a broader topic. I would support bringing this to council just for an update. My first gut reaction is I would expect folks to be good neighbors, and if we've got something that was in agreement and folks aren't living up to their end of the bargain, so to speak, we might want to take a look at that. So if there's other council support, I would see us receiving an update on that and possible consideration of action at a future time.
I think that's a good idea because I attended the trail workshop that we had here. Mm-hmm. In those horse arenas, I believe there's a couple more along the way that are going to hopefully someday be incorporated into the trail system. This might be a good learning process for us to how to address maybe some of the problems that could arise in the future.
Very good point. I do think that this is an area that requires folks working together, and if folks can't make good use of a resource, we need to look at it differently. So I think we have council consensus to bring that back at a future time. Thank you. And then our friends from the Elks, I would like to say to begin with, we are also a nonprofit business at the city. We work at providing not only services but infrastructure like those parks to do those barbecues at. And my personal philosophy is to just break even. Yeah, we try to find that what's the cost recovery so that we can do what we can to provide a range of services to all those organizations in our community. And every one of them, I certainly appreciate. Elks has done a phenomenal job. I think we certainly can look at how do we help all of our organizations do better, and we may want to take a look at that. I think the first thing that comes to mind is we want to make sure that any fees are fair. We try to do that on a study, and I was a little surprised at the cost on this particular item, a permit fee for doing a processing of this request. And I did ask staff to take a look at is that accurate. So is there anything you could give us in light of where staff is on looking at this item at this point?
Mayor and Council, taking heed from the city attorney not to go too far, we certainly could bring this item back. You did discuss it at strategic planning, and we have your goals report that will be back at the next city council meeting. So this item is referenced there as part of your common sense regulations and regulation rollback or reform. We believe when we first quoted the number, we were looking really at a zone text amendment. As we've investigated this based on your request, this is not in the zone code where the changes are. And we think we could probably do something, as you just suggested, on a time and material basis that fits much more in the expectations the Elks Lodge had. We can certainly work with them prior to that meeting and then have it as a part of your goals report so that you guys could make a determination what exactly you wanted to do with us moving forward or not moving forward with that issue and what the fee is. Just in fairness, I wanted, you know, we want to report this out as a part of the goals presentation. I too am an Elk, and I know others in the room are an Elk, and so I certainly want to have it on the public agenda that I'm not Yes. doing anything special.
Well, I'm safe. I think I'm a member of everything there is to be a member of, and if I'm not, just give me a call. I'll send you a membership check. I appreciate all of our organizations in town. As I understand it, it's our policy to just be at cost recovery. I think staff has looked at this particular permit, and they can look at it different than they originally were, and it may bring down the cost substantially. So we'll leave it with staff to work on that. And in any case, we're going to get a report back as part of our larger overview. So Maybe staff will surprise you and you'll be happier with their research on this. And if not, you'll have an opportunity to come back as it will be on our agenda and we can then enter in more discussion. And please make sure the Elks are aware of when that is, but you'll be talking with them as I understand it. I think, is that?
The Elks, and I think we can maybe take a different approach at it since it does benefit the whole city. And I'm looking at it return on investment. I think the investment that the Elks put into our city hopefully would balance out the benefit that we can give to them to get this through. So I'm in agreement to go ahead and pursue.
Thank you, because we are almost going to have another talking to by our city attorney. Any other comments? Councilman Moreno.
I'm slightly concerned about that term of a benefit we could give. I do want to make sure that
exactly.
We're pursuing something because it makes sense, not because we're trying to give special treatment anywhere.
Yes, that is my assumption. Okay. With the staff are directed to always look at any of our operations in cost recovery, and I understand that that's what they're doing. What is the actual cost to process any request?
Right. And that was part, like you said, part of our strategic planning.
Yes.
And so if that's part of the overall goal, then I would
right.
be for that.
Yeah, I would not support picking out we're going to do something for one particular organization or group. We're going to look at this across the board, what's fair, and what we do is we assess fees on anything that we do, and we want to be just cost neutral. And I think that's what staff is looking at. And whatever they do, we're going to look at the whole process here at a future time. So I think
that's correct.
Done with that item. Thank you. This is why we don't like to get too deep into responding to public comment, because we just can't resist talking about it just a little bit extra. Mr. Ward, we love everything you're doing, so you just keep coming back and let us know how things are progressing, and I think we pretty much support you in your efforts with Veterans Services, and thank you for your effort. With that, we will consider public comment taken care of. We took a little extra time tonight because we have a fairly light agenda. Thank you all for your participation. Next item on the agenda is a public hearing, one proposed ordinance to establish the Atascadero Tourism Business Improvement District, an ATBID. Now, I have to disclose that since I own a bed and breakfast inn and event center, I pay transient occupancy tax. So by definition, I cannot participate in the discussion of this item, and nor can I even speak on this item unless it, as it pertains directly to my business. So I will be leaving the room.
The room here. Well, our audience has shrunk considerably since our last item. I think Mr. O'Malley has now left the room. I'm going to start with Council Member Kelly, and we'll go from left to right, or right to left, depending on your perspective. And if you have ex parte, would you disclose, please?
I have none.
I have none?
None.
Thank you. Let's go ahead. Is there a staff report?
Yes, there is. Thank you, Council. I would like to introduce the Atascadero Tourism and Business Improvement District. The staff recommendation is that Council introduce for first reading by title only the draft ordinance adding Chapter 16 to Title 3 of the Atascadero Municipal Code establishing the Atascadero Tourism and Business Improvement District. To give you a little bit of background, the Parking and Business Improvement Area Law of 1989 allows the establishment of this district. The findings in that law declares that tourism is a large and growing contributor to California's economy. The ATBID revenues are designated through the law to be used for tourism promotions and to increase stays at the lodging businesses. The Atascadero hotel operators have expressed a desire to establish a tourism business improvement district. The district will include the lodging businesses and the boundaries of the city. As part of the law, an advisory board will be appointed to make recommendations. The board will be comprised of 5 members and will be the owners or representatives of the lodging businesses. The proposed TBID assessment will be equal to 2% of the rent charged by the lodging businesses. The assessments will be collected on a quarterly basis. The definitions and method of collecting the assessments will parallel the transient occupancy tax, or TOT. And the TBID will be set up in the same manner and will be collected at the same time as the TOT. The fiscal impact is basically ongoing administrative costs, which are partially covered by a 1% of the a 1% administration fee charged against the assessments that are collected. The advisory board that I just mentioned will prepare an annual report regarding the activities and financing of the TBID. This report will go to council, and after review, there'll be an annual resolution of intent to levy the TBID.
Are there any questions? I do. Do you know if other cities have these TBIDs?
Yeah, there are several other cities in San Luis Obispo County that have implemented the TBID. I think there may be two or three cities that have not yet implemented, but the majority of them have. A few years ago, there was the possibility of a countywide TBID, but that didn't end up happening. A few cities decided they wanted their own, so that's kind of been the direction the other cities have gone in. Statewide, it's been implemented quite a bit, and this is definitely something that is implemented on a national and international level. It may not always be called the TBID, but I think it originated in Canada, actually, and has a different name there.
Very good. And do you see this as an advantage to those business owners, particularly motel and hotel owners, that they might not have if they did not have the TBID?
Yes, it gives them the opportunity to pool their funds together to promote the area. You heard the presentation from Mental Marketing earlier this evening, but this would allow the hotels to directly, and other lodging businesses, to directly market to increase stays at their businesses.
Thank you. Any other questions? Very good. I'll go ahead and open this to the public. Is there anyone in the public that would like to speak on this item? Seeing none, I'm going to close it and bring it back to the council for their decision.
I'll make a motion that the council introduce for first reading by title only the draft ordinance adding Chapter 16 to Title 3 of the Atascadero Municipal Code establishing the Atascadero Tourism and Business Improvement District.
I'll second that.
Okay, roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Kelly?
Yes.
Councilmember Moreno?
Yes.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
3-0, motion passes.
Thank you. Could someone go get Tom and bring him back?
Just so that the public knows, we have a radio that listens to KPRL, and that's he was in the room where that radio was, so he could hear, so he knew when you were finished. He's not psychic.
Yes, I figured as soon as it was a roll call vote, I could start heading this way. Thank you. Next item on the agenda, manager reports, which there are none.
At 3:30, and we'll be covering Taco Bell expansion, so it may be something of interest.
Not an activity of mine, but the gentleman we had from the gas company last meeting, in addition to emails we've gotten, just continued to say how wonderful the community was in terms of the gas issue, the water issue, that whole outage that we had for several days, that how wonderful the community was and pulled together and kind to the workers. And it just, as we're thinking of the heart of the Central Coast, you know, you kind of think, yeah, is that kind of touchy-feely? But, you know, really just the way our citizens and residents have been, that was wonderful. So I just really want to thank all of you. And I'm not surprised, but it was awesome to hear that.
Yeah, I was very proud of our community. Not surprised, but proud that we did really make a tough situation better. And really, we did hear from all over the state people commented on that. Very nice. I'm just going to mention a couple of activities. Again, we are working full speed ahead with Cycle de Mayo. It's our Bike Month event. Again, the only one sanctioned in the North County, countywide event. And Cycle de Mayo is going to be on May the 4th, just a day before Cinco de Mayo. And we do have a
child-friendly bike ride right around our own Atascadero Lake. We'll start off with a safety check, and then we will then have a police escort around the lake. My granddaughter, 3 years old, has been practicing. She's ready to go. It's aimed for elementary age. We want it to be a safe entry experience for bike riding and a very family-friendly. Robin Derry, who's the head of the bike club at the high school, is kind of spearheading that, and also a Spanish teacher, so it kind of makes it ties in nicely with the fact that we're co-hosting this with the Latino Outreach Council countywide event. Kiwanis is going to be heading up an authentic Mexican dinner, and we do have free music. We've got two very good mariachi bands. We'll be playing one 10 to 2 and another 2 to 4. So again, opportunity for folks throughout the North County, come on out to our Lake Park Zoo Memorial. Just have a fun, family-friendly, relaxing day. And of course, we have our Mayor's Winemaker Dinner. I did put the menu in front of Miss Moreno because she's the most sophisticated member on council and can actually read the menu. The rest of us, we're still working on it. But it's going to be a heck of a lot of fun. Come up on June 21st. We have an event that always sells out with 33 different organizations and events that work there. With that, I would like you to take a stab at reading the menu that will be a true wine pairing event, and just what is in store for those that come out.
All right. Well, beginning with the tray past appetizers, you will have ahi tartar, spring rolls pomegranate plum chili sauce, making me hungry, cave-aged blue cheese and walnut tartlets, Happy Acres goat cheese, honeycomb, and pear tartlets. So that's just the apps.
Yes.
All right. First course, jumbo prawn with seafood bouillabaisse and red pepper roulette. The second course is a seared pork belly with frizzy salad, warm shallots, and bacon vinaigrette. Third course, petite filet mignon with Syrah jus. Ooh, that's new. Like au jus, but Syrah jus. Lobster whipped potatoes. Wow. And roasted baby vegetables. And then, of course, artisan breads with whipped butter. And for dessert, chocolate lava cake with a raspberry mousse. And for those that are not going to be pairing with wine or you want something else to drink, lavender lemonade, mint iced tea, and coffee service.
Very good. Thank you. Councilman Kelly.
Well, since we kind of wandered off committees, I'll...
Well, we're not to committees yet. This is anything you'd like to...
Oh, I thought we were... Okay. June the 5th at the Elks Lodge of this year, we'll be having our 7th annual Police and Firefighters Appreciation Dinner. It's a very successful event that the Elks put on, and we usually have a full house up there. And each year we honor one of the police officers and firefighters that have been selected by their peers as the firefighter or officer of the year. We would like to invite anybody in the community who would like to come up, just call the lodge up there and make a reservation. We're not quite as fancy as the mayor's dinner, but we will have top block and the world-famous chicken at the Elks Barbecue that you get to get every Tuesday evening in the park. So we look forward to another full event. I'd like to invite all the council members to put that on their calendars, and anybody else on the staff, you're all welcome to come up there. Thank you.
Good. We'll look forward to that calendar announcement coming.
June the 5th, Wednesday.
Thank you.
So, Marsha, you'll send that out, a notice to all the council members, something we may...
I'll be getting Marsha a flyer and everything on that to put up.
Very good. And I will comment on the mayor's dinner. That's mayor's plural, not mayor's possessive. All the former mayors, in fact, mayors countywide, come together and help out at this event. So it is a fun time.